But I'm going to ask Chip and Brian White to come up, both being on our staff. And what we're going to do is just have them share a bit about their story, kind of the background, and then may lead into some of the learnings that we've had. I'm going to maybe ask them a few questions along the way. We'll also have an opportunity, if time allows, maybe not, for you, if you might have some questions as well for them. So let me go ahead and – there you go. So I'm going to let y'all go ahead and just let us know, just give us background on their twins, as y'all know. And
now, we're not just twins.
Right. I'm going to have you back up.
We are twin brothers of another color.
Different mother.
But the same Heavenly Father. Right?
So I want you to just kind of give us a background about, in terms of how you met, how you, about the genesis of your relationship and kind of the evolution of that over the last, 9 years? Or 10 years that you guys have known each other?
Or maybe? No, about 12.
About 12.
12 or 13. Okay. I think we met playing professional football together, didn't we?
Pretty much. He was a wide receiver. What? I was a cornerback, and he took a beating.
Yeah, man. I would not be here, that's for sure. We actually met in the spring of 2003 at a lunch that was a group of Norcross pastors and leaders that were meeting together, and during that conversation, it was Brian and senior pastor from Hopewell Missionary Baptist, myself and Drew, a few from Perimeter, and maybe one or two other churches that were there that day, and we said, you know, we're each doing some neat things in the community. What if we were to do it together? And wow, that's a novel thought, churches working together. And that conversation ended up birthing Unite.
Yeah, I really think that we were basically set up, you know, because it was a group of concerned clergy. And I don't know today what we were concerned about. We were just meeting and eating and have a good time.
We were eating. We were eating, yeah.
But out of that meeting, the conversation evolved about Unite. And so as it turned out, went back to our respective churches, and the conversation began, and a series of meetings began. And the movement kind of evolved. And as it turned out, Chip and I were, I don't know how we ended up leading this thing, because, you know, there were other guys that were there from other churches, and so... Chip kind of got railroaded into leading. I nominated him, and before he could decline, it got second. But he is the guy. Would you agree that he is the guy?
No, I would not agree.
No, he's the guy.
No. So that's how it got started, was through Unite. But I think if you go back and you say, that was a great way for us to begin to get to know each other. But it's gone so much deeper and farther than that over these last 12 years.
We determined right away, once the movement got underway and we got a name and we decided what we were going to do, we determined right away that in order for this to be successful, it was going to be necessary for us to start to build relationships. Because we were going to have to cross denominational lines, ethnic lines, and a whole lot of barriers that we were going to be faced with. And if we wanted this thing to get some traction, we needed to start to build relationships. And that's pretty much how it evolved. And Chip and I began to work very closely together. I was okay with Chip.
You said you weren't looking for a white friend. I mean, I've heard
not.
You say that.
Definitely not. I really wasn't at the time. I had my two, and I was good. So, as it turned out,
I was privileged then. I was one of the two.
So, as it turned out, we began to work closely together, birthing this thing and collaborating. And it was tough. You know, there were a few times that I left his presence, and it was like, psh, I don't know about this guy. But the bottom line is we were determined to stick this thing out. We were determined because it was bigger than us, you know, and so we had to get over ourselves. And as it turned out, the relationship grew. I was able to tolerate him a little bit more. He was able to tolerate me. And so it evolved. We were friends. We were friends.
And as we developed our friendship, it went beyond he and I, but it was our families. And so we started to spend time together where we weren't just working on Unite, but we were hanging out together. We were living life together. I remember we were looking at a picture the other day. Our son Jack now is 17, and I think he was probably...
Four.
Yeah, four. He was sitting on Brian's shoulders. And now, what does he call you?
I'm Uncle Brian. I mean, really, I'm Uncle Brian to him. Last year, during the soccer season, I think Duluth High School was having a banquet in the hangar.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time that we were having our meeting, so Chip and I had to sneak out because we had to go over there, and I don't know what it was we were supposed to do, but we did the Chip and Brian's show, you know, and the relationship thing. And his son, Jack Sweeney, was sitting right up front because the whole team was sitting up front. And Chip asked Jack, said, "Who is this up here with me, Jack?" Jack stood up and hollered across all of the hangar, "That's my Uncle Brian." And, you know, that means a lot. It speaks volumes to the relationship that we have. You know, guys, it's beyond friendship. I can honestly say that I love this brother with all my heart. And if anybody were to ever try to do anything to Chip Sweeney, they're going to have a mad black guy on their hands.
I feel pretty good about that, too. Bob, we're just kind of talking, so maybe you should... You want?
So, you guys, obviously, I mean, if it's two white guys or it's two black guys standing up here, we're not going to have this conversation. Mm-hmm. So, what is it about... what have you learned, or let me say, what are you learning as two guys from two different races, as you've tried to come together and have this relationship? What are some things along the way? Maybe some things that have been challenging. Mm-hmm. Maybe some things that have been hard and difficult if you had this relationship.
You want to start?
One thing that I've found out about Chip is Chip has a tendency sometimes to not communicate. And I really didn't have a clue as to what that meant. You know, okay, so you're not feeling me today? What is it? You're not my friend anymore? And I kind of struggle with that. But as it turned out, I realized and I found out that Chip has some issues, some things that used to trouble him. And when it began to trouble him, he would go off into himself. And at that point, that was an opportunity for me to minister to him. And so we spent a lot of time together ministering to each other about different things and different challenges that we would individually have. And that's kind of how the whole thing evolved. I don't know what, I can't put my finger on what it was that happened that really caused me to fall in love with this brother. I think it was because we began to do life together. And as a result of that, you know, it just kind of evolved. Now, I know we don't have a whole lot of time, but we really thought that this was the story. You know, we've been all over the country sharing the Unite story, the Chip and Brian story, the relationship story, how we feel about each other. And we thought that was pretty much the end of the story. It was Unite. But as it turned out, guys, for me, and I'm sure Chip will agree, it goes a little bit beyond this relationship thing, this whole thing about Unite. As it turns out, because of the relationship I have with Chip and because of the fact that, as God would have it, I'm here at Perimeter Church, I've experienced racial reconciliation. Now, you guys are going to say, well, that's a word that we hear a lot of, but nobody understands how to make this happen. Well, we've come to a point, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm absolutely sure that when it comes to this whole race thing, Chip and I have been reconciled, honestly been reconciled. There are no issues that Chip and I can't deal with. There's nothing going on in my heart that would cause me to say, well, I don't know about this reconciliation thing. I'm there. And a lot of it has to do with this right here. When God saw fit to put me in this environment and caused me to be an officer here at this church, it was either you're going to be reconciled or you're going to have a fit up in it with all these white people. So as it turned out, guys, I have come to a good place in my heart as it pertains to reconciliation.
You know, I think, Bob, one of the main things I've learned in my relationship with Brian and Unite is, as a white man, I don't know what I don't know. And that is, I don't know what it's like to grow up as a young black man. Or it's not just a white-black issue. I don't know what it's like to grow up as an Asian in our culture or to grow up as a Hispanic. And how would I be able to know that unless I'm in a significant relationship and friendship with someone of another color? Because we all experience life and what's going around us differently. But as my friendship has deepened with Brian and with others too, I begin to better understand what it's like for those that are not white. And that makes me a better person, a more holistic understanding of the gospel and of reconciliation, not just racial reconciliation. Mm-hmm. So one of my dreams is, what if every believer, or let's just say, what if every member at Perimeter Church had one significant, deep friendship that's not just surface, but it's a deep level friendship with a person of another color? I think it would transform, you know, our church and our community. And many, many of us do. A lot of us do. But I think we're still early in that. So that's been one of the biggest learnings for me.
What has helped me early on in my ministry here, I struggled at first trying to figure out how I would integrate into this ministry. And there were a few things that we thought would be a good idea for me, and that would be a little bit more visible. And I was originally a part of the worship pastor team. And to be honest with you guys, I just wasn't comfortable doing that. It was because it was so different from what I was accustomed to doing. And I might get fired for saying this.
You mean having 1 minute wasn't what you're used to.
So I took myself out of the rotation because I wasn't comfortable doing it. And I personally felt that the best way for me to integrate into this ministry, the best way for people to get to know me, is for me to serve and love them well. And so that's basically where my heart is. That's basically what I've tried to do here at Perimeter Church. And the good news is, guys, folk have loved me and my family back, and that helps a great deal. So it's all about the love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friend. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. And that's the bottom line for me.
So let me ask you this. Assuming, I guess, when we talk about racial reconciliation, I'm assuming that you all are coming up here saying we believe, obviously, in racial reconciliation, but also there's a need for it. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, you know, there's a sense in which when we start looking at that, maybe it becomes a political issue, or maybe it becomes something that people start, you know, they have very strong opinions about one way or the other. But I'd love to hear maybe your learnings about where does the gospel come into this, and what are you learning along the way? Part of that is on this piece of paper, I know. Mm-hmm. But just speak to that, because I think the church, in my opinion, needs to hear the message. But what is that message that you all have?
Well, it's all about the gospel. You know, I think about Ephesians 2:14, where it talks about, you know, that Christ made both groups, it was referring to the Jews and Gentiles, both groups into one, and he broke down the barrier, the dividing wall, right? So Christ has eliminated any barrier, any dividing wall between any of us, whether it's different races or different anything, those barriers have been broken down by the gospel. And so it's the gospel that drives any kind of relationship, and it's the motivation and it's the power that we have to be able to do it. I love what you have to say about sort of toleration and reconciliation.
Yeah, for the most part, over the years, we've kind of come to a place where it's not much of an issue. We've settled in the fact that, okay, I got all different ethnicities living in my subdivision. You know, I got black neighbors, I got Asian neighbors, and I go, in some places, I go to church with people that don't look like me. I go to the theater. We go to the grocery store. All this stuff happens together. And for the most part, you get lured into a false sense of, well, maybe some reconciliation has happened. I suggest to you that basically what that is toleration. We've learned how to tolerate each other. Real reconciliation haven't happened yet because that's a hard issue. And so we've done a good job of being able to tolerate one another. And so, you know, it's a hard issue for me. You know, Scripture tells us that out of one blood, God made all nations. It's all about the blood, man. It's not about the color of your skin. And so it's all about love. I will always hang my hat on the idea that love is going to be the key to getting us through this thing.
Okay. Hmm. All right. Tell us a little bit about the committee that y'all are putting together. And y'all are meeting, and mm-hmm. Is this part of what's on here on the sheet? Do you need to refer to that?
Yeah. No.
That you want to have them look at?
The denomination, as Bob was sharing earlier, the denomination from General Assembly last year said, you know, that we want to, as churches and presbyteries and denomination, not only deal with some of the past and maybe sins of omission or commission during the civil rights period, but also, what about now? What does it look like to really build deeper relationships? So Brian and I are both part of the Presbytery Racial Reconciliation Committee, and as we were sharing our story, they just asked, hey, would you put down in writing some of your learnings? And that's really what this sheet is just sort of a synopsis of a little bit of what we shared tonight, but just overall learnings of what does it look like to begin to build a little bit deeper relationships. And I think the other thing that I like to share is this doesn't happen overnight. You know, just like any friendship or relationship that we have, it takes time to build trust. And what we have, I mean, has been over 12 or 13 years. You know, the first year, we didn't have the same relationship that we have now. And I think as we look at relationships, and particularly building relationships across different ethnicities, is having a long-term view and being willing to say, you know, this isn't going to change overnight. It's long-term. And again, to not get overwhelmed with this term or racial reconciliation, but say, what does it look like to have one friend or a few friends?
I want to say that when did you come on staff with us?
July 2007.
Okay. And he'll hate me for this, but you know, one of the things that I appreciate about you, Brian, is because we work together closely over in the shepherding department. And one of the things is he's come to the life of this church, come on staff of the church. I sometimes have thought, how would I handle it if I went to a church where it was primarily, you know, African American and I'm, you know, kind of more of a minority there. And I want to say this with full confidence that I appreciate the fact that as you walked into this environment, There's just such a mature humility that he's exhibited through this whole process. And I'm sure, and again, I'm not asking to speak to it, that it's necessarily been easy, but I appreciate the way Christ has been reflected through your life and as you've been here, because I think, you know, that would not be easy, but I appreciate the fact that you've done that.
It's huge. Thank you. It's huge.
Thanks, guys. I can speak to that. You know, I've had some of my African-American colleagues often ask me, how is it over there at that big white church? But here's the bottom line. As I look back on ministry, I've been in ministry over 20 years, and I'm convinced that everything that I've done over the years, everything that God has done through me was preparing me for this moment in ministry. And I've said it to some people in my department. I don't know if I've ever said it to Rand or anybody else, but the past 5 years have been the best ministry years of my life, and that's here at Perimeter Church. So thank you, guys.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. I want to pray for them and appreciate you guys being a part of this. Now, this is... You should have some of these on your table. I know we didn't make one for everybody, but anybody have any just quick question that you want to ask? I don't want to go too long, but anything that's burning on your heart, you want to ask them about this? Brett?
Yeah, I mean, Brian, you said God reconciled. What caused that?
Doing life together. Getting to know each other. And I didn't realize it had happened until... You know, we've been doing life together so long, and I know that I love this brother. And, you know, it just dawned on me kind of lately, since we've been talking about reconciliation so much. It's on the forefront of everything that we talk about and what's going on in this country. And it just dawned on me that, you know, I believe I'm reconciled with this brother right here. It's not a term that you need to be so upset about and so hung up on. It's a feeling. It's a point in your life where you feel a certain way about an individual. And
he's back to love.
Yeah. It's not anything that this brother can do to make me change how I feel about it. Absolutely nothing. I'll punch him out first.
Okay. Let me pray. Our God in heaven, we are so grateful for these two brothers. And thank you, God, that you have called them to yourself. And we think about the covenant promise, Lord, that you gave to Abraham to be a blessing to all the nations. And God, thank you for the diversity of the body of Christ. And Lord, we thank you for these two men who have journeyed this together and walked this together in the process they've gone through and are going through, and Lord, what it teaches us about relationship. So Lord, I pray that this would not just be, this is two guys who have a great friendship, but you would speak to us. What does this mean for us? What does this mean to relate to people who are different than us? What does it mean to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world? And so, Lord, pray you would do that. And pray you would speak to us, whatever that would mean, so that, Lord, we just don't think, well, I just want to find people that always are like me. But, God, that we would be missional to take that gospel out. So thank you for them. Blessing on their continued relationship. And, Lord, use this. Use this in our denomination. Use this going forward, indeed, that there would be reconciliation, there would be restoration. We pray that, Lord, our witness in the African-American community would grow stronger. And obviously not just there, but also in the Hispanic community. And so we pray for that. And not just to have tokenism, Lord, but to really see, indeed, the growth of your kingdom in all the nations. And so we bless you for these two brothers, and we ask your blessing on them in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, give them a hand there. Thanks, brother.
Well, that was outstanding. I hope you guys appreciate what you just heard. I am part of a group of pastors, PCA pastors, that have met for This is our 32nd year. We met last week down in Orlando for 3 days. It's a group that was brought together by Jim Baird and Frank Barker. And last year at our General Assembly, unfortunately, the last day, and most people are leaving on Thursday, and that carried over, and this subject came up once again. It was on the docket, but it came up, and it became an incredible meeting. I was not there. I left that night before. I missed it, but I heard that the person that made the statement of statements was Jim Baird. Well, he came to our meeting, obviously. He's been the leader of our meeting for these many, many years. And here he is. He's 86 now, 87, and he's as sharp as if he were 55, the way he can communicate and talk and the way his mind works. And I've never seen him so burdened. And I'm talking about a deep, deep burden. He said, I've never felt such a burden. And he told us the story, and it basically came down to his generation in a very, you know, young stage of his life when the issue of integration was taking place. And he said, I never did any. I had the right mind about the truth, about the importance of integration and the importance of love between the races and all that. He said, I wasn't against that at all. But he said, I was a coward. I think we were cowards. We were afraid. What if in these churches we stood up and proclaimed what we should be proclaiming? What if we had? And he looks back with deep remorse and regret. He went on to share that, of course, he's involved in his presbytery coming out of Mississippi, and he's kind of taking a lead there, and he's watching what's happening. And he said how volatile this whole issue still is to this day, in that we're, you know, the way a denomination does, they say, all right, we need a statement. We need to come with a resolution in all this. And he's just convinced it's not going to be the answer. We don't need a resolution. It's just going to probably stack these people against these people, and how do you say this, and how can you say it this way, and we don't say it this way. We like, you know. And he said, I'm just so, where do we turn? And so our team here as a ELT, Executive Leadership Team, has taken this on as one of our primary subject matters for now and the future, where we're going. We just think this needs to be a primary issue that we address. And when I say that, I mean this church needs to reflect the diversity of our community. And you can look out among us right here and see we're not really reflecting the diversity of our community at this stage. Now, I will say this. I don't know how many of you were at the Christmas Eve gathering, but I felt like it was an international event. I mean, I was amazed. I don't know if you did, but I stood in the foyer and greeted and saw, and I just went, wow, this is reflecting our community. Now, it's not in our leadership at this point. It's becoming more and more. You look at our membership class. I looked at the one we had about this many people, a little bit less than this in this last class, and I looked out at everyone, and I went, wow, look at the diversity we have in here. So it's beginning to come along. But there was a sense of which it was like, what's the answer, and where do we go? So I immediately called back the church office, and I don't remember who I talked to, but I said, send me these points that you have on your table that I think this is Chip and Brian. Y'all came up with these, right? Between the two of them. And I read these. I said, this is kind of where we are, and I want you to know that we feel that the answer is not in a statement. It's not in a resolution. It's not in saying this is what we believe. It's doing something and then saying, let's show you what's been done. That's what brings credibility. And I said, and I take this from these guys, I think the term I heard, I said, we're embarking on a learning journey. And so I read these things, and these pastors and Jim himself overwhelmed. Just like every one of them said, get that to me, get that to me. We got to get that. We need to take that to the presbytery. We need to take that to our churches. We need to take and show here's what we need to be doing. And so I just have to say I am so proud of you guys. I don't know where Chip is, but, you know, thank you guys for what – where's Chip? Anyway, thank you guys for what you've done. You have forged a path for us now to follow. And it's now, I think, our leadership's responsibility to figure out what does this look like, how do we get there. And so we're reading together. I'm making contact with some pastors of diversity to say, let's get together, let's talk. And my call to them is to say, I want to learn from you. What? How can you help me? Help us understand. So I want you to think that when we're coming up on a new five-year launch, you know, fairly soon, a year and a half or so from now, and I think you're going to see this to be a major factor in where we're going. Diversity. Let's reflect the diversity of the community. What's that look like? How do we get there? There's a lot of unknowns. Even to a Chip and Brian, they can't come here and say, this is exactly what we do. I mean, we're in you know, territory we've never been in before. So let's make that as we pray tonight around the tables. Let's pray that God would give wisdom. And I pray this. I sat here and I said, Lord, I think what we need at our General Assembly is to have Chip and Brian have this discussion in front of the whole denomination, all of the leadership. I don't know if it can happen, if it will, but I think that would go a long way to hear a story of reconciliation instead of this is what we need to do too and here's how we could and here's what. No, let's say here it is. This is what it looks like, and it's happened right here in one of our churches. So when we meet together, let's pray about that, okay? One last quick thing I want to do is just to give you an update, a follow-up to our discussion we had, was it 2 months ago, on the marriage, statement of marriage? Was it, I don't know, 2 months, 3 months, whenever that was. And the EM took a lot of your thoughts and recommendations, and they were some very, very good ones. They've been reviewed, have been edited and incorporated, and we have a proposed version that has now been taken to our lawyers. They have reviewed them. They have given edits based on their legal insights and so forth. And the personnel committee tonight is bringing that to our EMT for its final approval. And we have every reason to believe, as the committee is very firm on this, is the we think this is the final product that we're looking for. And so it is going to actually, if approved tonight, be sent to all of you electronically in the morning. And we would like for you, if you would, to look at that, to be able to affirm your belief and support. And you will have an opportunity on the link that's sent to you to respond. And we would like to have that by tomorrow afternoon. We realize there may be some of you that cannot review it, look at it, and give us your response. But it'll be sent to you for that purpose. Hopefully, get it in tomorrow. Will that be okay? All right. So we're making good progress there. And I think you're going to be really pleased with what we have as a product to bring to you.